plagued a potential nugget.
And just sticking to the theme of transitions, Vinita, if you had to write a playbook and talk about the missed opportunities, let's say when leaders transition at senior roles in large corporations like Cadbury's or Coke, are there one or two key things you would really highlight, both from a leader that's transitioning from and from a hiring leader's perspective, just the stuff that they should focus on for the last first 90 to 180 days?
I think in many ways, Deepak, the success of a new hire is more dependent on what the hiring leader does to create the context and the environment for the new person coming into the organization. Mm-hmm. And I believe that, you know, when we spend so much of time interviewing talent and getting people in, it again surprises me why companies don't spend the same amount of rigor and robustness in terms of saying what would be the best way to absorb
right.
or to, you know, embed or enmesh these people
right.
Into the organization. So I think there's almost a greater responsibility on the hiring leader to ensure that, you know, the ground is fertile for the new person that you've hired to deliver his or her best. And I think some of the things that are very helpful are just very simple things like, you know, the detail with which an induction is done. Making it easier for the new person to actually socialize within the organization. And these are not just formal things, but also informal ways in which you do that. I think usually it is also acceptance by the peer group. And what the hiring leader can do in terms of, you know, making the receptivity greater within the peer group. So I think the hiring leaders have a greater responsibility. As the person who has joined an organization, I think if you spend the first few days curious, listening, not jumping to conclusions, you know, we tend to get very judgmental very quickly. I think if you spend the first few days as a tourist in a place, which is really about, as a tourist, you're exploring. You know, you're curious, you want to read about this, that, and the other. So if you spend those first few days more like a tourist, more from the point of view of understanding and not judging, more from a curiosity orientation rather than I have the answers. And more from the point of view of really knowing that you are the new kid on the block.
Right.
You know, your hiring manager may have hired you, but none of the others, you know, owe you anything. I think if you find that level of acceptance, and I learned it when I went to new countries. I mean, you know, what did I know about consumers in Nigeria? What did I know about consumers in South Africa? And you have to very quickly go and figure out what that model of collaboration or cooperation is going to be. And I think if there is that attention paid, including to some of the softer things. This is not a task-oriented framework.
Right. And talking about the hiring leaders, one of the points you mentioned was ensuring that there's greater acceptance with the peers. Tactically speaking, any one or two things hiring leaders could do to ensure that? Because that's often the point where, you know, resistance comes in sometimes visible or invisible manner. So any tactical things you've seen people do to increase that acceptance?
You know, I think one of the easiest things to do is to do things informally. You know, just do a lunch or dinner outside the office.
Right.
Where people first get to know each other as people
right.
before they get to know each other as positions within a hierarchy.
Right.
And somehow in India, we're also very hierarchical. So I would do, you know, an informal dinner with, you know, the spouse or girlfriend or whoever or nobody, as the case might be. Because I think if you first understand the person and you first accept the person, then accepting the role also becomes easier. I think other things which are more like, the whole process of sort of socialization, making it easy for, not necessarily presentations to be made, but a walkthrough, giving enough one-on-one time with the new person and the existing people, not just in the office, but, go and have a cup of tea together or whatever. Doing some informal fireside chats. Right. If the new person has to get to know you, if you get to know the new person also informally, that helps. I would call a bunch of 10 or 20 people and say, okay, here's our new head of supply chain. Ask him any questions, him or her any questions and so on. So I think the more softer things, and again, it is very sort of cultural.
And it's interesting. It's almost work aside, let the web of relationships get formed.
Yes, yes.
And then once that's firmly in place, I mean, it grows over time. But that sometimes gets built more effectively outside the work context.
And one thing I've also found is if you create relationships which are based on respect, then even when I don't agree with you, I still respect your point of view. And one of my key learnings is that we don't spend enough time on relationships, on professional relationships that are created out of, mutual respect. And therefore, people feel that they are in positions and have to defend those positions. And that is where you end up not having a dialogue, but a discussion or even an argument where the end point is who is going to win, not are we going to come up with a better decision.
For the company.
For the company, exactly. So this is not about, the finance guys winning over the marketing guys. It is about how the marketing and finance people are collaborating and engaged in a dialogue to come up with the best possible solution on pricing or revenue management or whatever the topic might be.
I'm reminded of the project that Google ran to figure out what separated the great teams from average teams. They looked at multiple variables ranging across pedigree, hours worked, time spent outside the office, and so on, to get to the bottom of what explained high performance in teams. Finally, it came down to what they termed as psychological safety. Do people feel safe taking risks in the team? And a big piece of this was about whether people knew each other as complete human beings outside the realm of work. The point Vinita makes about the criticality of forming a web of trust-based relationships is a critical one. Given the power equation in an organization, it's possibly all the more important for the hiring leader to make that space available and create the forums for the incoming leader to build that platform of personal relationships on the basis of which he or she can move forward in an organization. If you want to know more, Google Project Aristotle. Again, that sounds a little weird, but there's a lovely New York Times article which talks about this in greater detail. Thank you for listening. For more, please visit playtopotential.com. If you want to listen offline, look for the podcast at iTunes, Stitcher, or one of the other podcast apps.